the desire of our soul, and how we back that up with our intention. And now we're moving into chapter two, which is that awareness, which is that center for enlightenment within us as it expresses as the mind. Now, if this was a 12-step meeting, I would have to say, I am Greg, and I am addicted to my intellect because it's my drug of choice. That's where I go to escape. That's where I've gone to get my kudos. That's been something for me that I've used to keep myself limited in many ways, even though it's a marvelous tool that has many attributes and aspects that I've developed over eons and eons of time to get to know my world, myself, all those different good things. But a friend of mine once said, if you take something too far, it becomes a detriment. And this is something that we've reached, you and I, as we've moved to this point in our spiritual journey, we've reached the point where it's no longer moving us forward to be in our intellects. It's actually a detriment. It's a limitation. It creates a boundary between ourselves and other souls. It creates a boundary between ourselves and the truth of our being. Every soul on this planet is here to unveil our true identity in our infinite consciousness. You are here as a soul in evolution to grow into your infinite consciousness, your infinite self. And the first piece of equipment that we're going to examine as you move from personality, ego self into soul is the intuition. It's that aspect of the soul that is an upgrade. You're upgrading your equipment. You're getting rewired. And instead of operating from the intellect alone, which measures and compares, which analyzes and rationalizes, you're moving into something that does something very different. It looks different. It feels different. It comes with its own energy and vibration, which as you begin to work with it, will become more and more apparent to you over time. As you move into your intuition, you begin to notice that there's more to life than just the intellectual thinking. And I was just thinking about it this morning, and I realized that the intellect is like a measuring stick. It's like a ruler or a tape measure. It has a definite purpose. It's great when you're doing your taxes, which is an appropriate thing this time of year. It's great when you're analyzing things and rationalizing things and adding up numbers and dealing with the measurables of life. The intellect is great for receiving information from the outside, which is seems to be outside of you, inward. It's where you learned your multiplication tables and where you learned your gerunds and your adjectives and your adverbs, where you learn all the different information that there is out there. But then you get to a point where this measuring stick doesn't work on what you're working on. Your next level of consciousness is likened to giving birth to a baby, having a baby in your life. And you're taking care of this precious new awareness, this precious new consciousness within your being. And it's as beautiful and precious and innocent and pure and wonderful as that baby. And so, of course, initially with the baby, you measure it from head to toe. But once you get that number, that's as much as you can do with this tool. You've got to use other tools of your being in order to take care of the baby. You've got to use your heart, your love, your maternal instinct or your paternal instinct, your nurturing self, your spiritual essence of love. And all those things are likened to the intuition. You are ready to move from the limited form of thinking into the unlimited form of thinking. You're ready to move from the concrete mind, which has every bit of goodness to it up to a certain point, but it has a certain limitation. You're ready to move into the essence of your being, which is expressing right now as your intuition. Your intellect can only operate so far. It can only take you a certain distance, but the intuition has to be developed in order to continue to move into your spiritual consciousness, your spiritual self, your infinite awareness. In the past, we've used our intuitions. This is an entirely new faculty or aspect of being. There have been times in your life when you've had hunches, you've had a sense that something isn't right, or that you had an impulse to do something a certain way, or you had a sudden insight. So it's not like it's not there, just like your soul has always been there from the beginning of time. But this is the first time in which you're actually exercising your awareness of your soul and growing into it fully and consciously and expanding your awareness consciously, not just it bleeding through in a haphazard manner. And similarly, this is the first time in your existence where you're moving into your intuitive awareness in a way that's a conscious choice, and you develop it. Your intuition is like a muscle. It's like a tool. You develop it, you learn how to use it, and it takes time. And just like a muscle or learning how to use a tool, there's a learning curve to it. And so we're going to talk about the patience that it takes and the different ways that you need to use in order to grow in to that new spiritual awareness. Today is the time for you to make that choice to move into that more unlimited intuitive mind. You make a conscious effort. And that and remember last week we talked about that decision, that desire of your heart. And then you back it up with your intention. And so your desire of your heart, your desire is now to move into your intuitive awareness. What's the first thing you have to do when you want to develop your intuition? The first thing you have to do is to meditate. Meditation is that way that you open up the door between yourself and that intuitive awareness, between your consciousness and that intuitive awareness, which pervades your whole being, has always been there from the beginning of time, and is waiting for you to awaken to it. But taking the time to still your mind opens up the door. You know, so many times I've heard other people say this, and I've said this myself, it just doesn't feel like anything's happening in my meditation. But that's the time. That's the very time when the intuitive awareness is coming through, because I've quieted my mind just enough, and then it lands, but I'm not aware of it consciously. And then when I'm going about my workday or taking a walk or washing the dishes, I find an awareness comes, and it's because I meditated. Your meditation time is far more valuable to you than you realize. Jane once likened it to taking your car to the lube place, and they put it up on the lift, and there's work being done underneath it. Well, during the meditation time, there's certain work being done, but you're not aware of it. You don't really see it necessarily. Sometimes you do have conscious awareness, but the important thing is to back up your desire for your new intuitive equipment with your intention and your willingness to, with determination, open up that door. This takes perseverance. It takes a certain amount of self-discipline, and it takes dedication to your own heart. Just as taking care of that baby, in my analogy, takes a certain dedication of heart, whether you feel like it or not. You take care of the baby. When the baby needs to be fed, you feed the baby. I'm not in the mood. I'm just not in the mood to change that baby's diaper. Who would say that? But we need to have that same attitude towards that precious something within our heart, which is our soul, which is expressing, for the purposes of today's lesson, as our intuition. Your intuition, the more primitive consciousness, the simple consciousness that we think is separate from God, that we think is separate from everyone else, comes into its oneness, its wholeness, its full awareness, and develops into that wholeness of being, into full consciousness. So we're moving today from the intellect to the intuition. And again, the intellectual mind's purpose is to reason and to analyze. That's where all your judgments are. and it has a certain purpose in life. But now it's time to move into the intuitive mind. And the intuitive mind's purpose is to expand your consciousness. And that expansion means you knock down a few walls in the house of your soul and you move into a greater and more expanded awareness. This intuitive mind is the bestower of guidance on a practical level. Every day of your life, your intuition is speaking to you. It has been speaking to you, and now through attuning to it in your practice of meditation, and then moment by moment becoming more aware of it through the practice of being your observer self, being more aware during the day in the now moment of where you are, you start to get guidance, for very practical things. And I'm going to share later where Jane shares certain questions you can ask every day and certain safe, easy ways to, without any downside, practice your development of your intuition. Creative ideas come to you. And you know, so many people feel that they're not creative, but the difference between the uncreative and the creative person is that the creative person is listening and has opened their soul. You're as creative as any other soul on earth, and creative ideas are pouring through you right now. And you are on the brink, on the cusp of catching hold of them and becoming aware of them. Jane talks about something called revelations. And if I'm to understand this correctly, and from my own experience, revelations are those intuitive awarenesses, that guidance that comes through, that you know from the tip of your toes to the top of your head what to do. And it comes not only with the knowledge and information, but it comes with all the backing that it needs, all of the energy that you need to get you through, see you through, and all of the resources that you need. A revelation is a whole package. It gives you what you need in order to take your next spiritual step. And so mundane guidance, day by day, where you want to eat, where you're going to buy that outfit, who to call, those kind of things, that's all part of guidance. But there's another level, and that other level is the revelation that comes through that truly rocks your world. It changes you. I've had every so often something come through, and I've been prepared for it. And I can see how the intuitive mind, that soul of me, prepares me for these revelations. And what emerges is a new state of being, an understanding of my soul. The greatest spiritual growth that you'll ever experience is through the unfoldment of your intuition, because your intuition is what gets you to think outside of yourself. It's if your intellect is your concrete mind, your intuition is your advanced or your abstract mind. We'll talk more as the weeks go on about the third dimensional consciousness to the fourth dimensional consciousness. But simply put, the third dimensional consciousness is the personality, the human consciousness. And the fourth dimensional consciousness is the spiritual consciousness, the soul. And so as you move from intellect to intuition, you're moving from third dimensional mind to the fourth dimensional mind. Jane loves to say, your intellect is your mind of your personality, and your intuition is your mind of your soul. And we are growing beyond what we call the human consciousness into that spiritual consciousness, which is your next step in your soul's evolution. And there, that old equipment, that old tape measure, you still have it. You blend with it, you still use it, but it doesn't lead. What takes precedence as your soul starts to lead your ego and your personality, your intuition starts to lead your intellect. And then you're enabled to take direct and correct action when the time comes up. Life becomes a dance. I know when I'm stuck in my intellect, and I shared before, I'm a recovering intellect. When I'm stuck in my intellect, everything's rigid. It's broken up into little pieces. And I can't really take direct and correct action, because it's like my intellect takes the whole of life, the whole of being, and tries to break it up into little fragments to understand it. And there's some things that works well with, but my intuition is operating as the mind of the soul. And it takes all the fragmented things that seem to be happening in my third dimensional world, and I experience them in wholeness. I hope that analogy helps. Another analogy Jane loves to share, and I've shared it recently, is the difference between a peephole and seeing things in the wider perspective. Through a peephole, you can only see just a few things. That's your intellect, but your intuition is a wider perspective. Another analogy that she uses, and I'm going to give you lots of analogies because it helped, the analogies are more the intuition's language. That's why the spiritual masters taught in parables and stories. It's a way that you can receive it, not in the hard, concrete mind, but being lifted up above a fence. You know, when there's a knothole in a fence, you only see so much, but then you can see it all. And she once, more than once, in fact, drew a picture in a class of a building. And you're standing on top of the building, and there's two cars going to a corner, and you can see that they're about to hit. And you are one of the drivers as well. So you're able to tap into this higher awareness that gets you to put on the brakes and you can avoid the accident. That's another analogy that helps us to understand our intuition. As we develop our intuition, what happens is that our intellectual mind starts to take second place to our intuitional mind. And just as our ego personality self takes a back seat, we still have one, but it doesn't lead the way. And as we begin to move from our intellect or intuition, we gradually transcend our limited self. And the key word here is gradually. And as I've shared in the past, just as you wouldn't go down to the gym the very first day and try to lift 200-pound weights, you start where you are. You begin the development of your intuition through meditating, through asking questions during the day to see how it's operating, and getting to know its energy and its vibration. As you do this, you begin to shed your ego personality self and move into soul awareness, move into your infinite self, the truth of your being, the center for enlightenment in you, that nature within you that is divine. And in so doing, you end up consciously participating in the evolution of your soul. But in order to do this work of developing your intuition, you got to develop a trust with it as well. And there's often the question, well, how do I know if this is my intuition? Or what if it's the, just my ego telling me what I want to hear? And that's a legitimate question. And the truth is that being able to trust your intuition is very important. And the more you learn about your intuitive mind, the better it works for you. Your intuition is always trying to get you where you need to go in the best way possible. And sometimes your intuition will give you guidance that doesn't make sense to the intellect. Sometimes I've seen that to move from point A to point B, I have to go to point D, F, G, and X before I can get to point B. And so the guidance will guide me in ways that maybe my intellect will want to argue with. Sometimes we have to let go of the very things that we're attached to that we think are so important that may be holding us back. For me, it's been my rationalizing and my defending and my ego and all the things that I thought protected me from the big bad world out here. Instead, with my intuition, I don't have to be at least as defensive. I don't have to defend myself because I'm in this awareness, but that takes a while. The soul is trying to get in charge. The soul is trying to lead the way, but it's important to distinguish between what we think we want, our false cravings and addictions, and what it is that our soul's truly trying to get us to see, what our intuition is trying to get us to see. And to that end, I want to share that once again, which I keep bringing up, but I'm going to keep bringing it up because I use it every day. The four questions on page 40 on journaling, they're very simple. They're five questions. And as you answer the questions, just journal them out, what you'll find is that you'll start to get answers that are very different maybe than you had in mind. For instance, once I was journaling using this method about somebody in my life who was in a supervisory position. This was many years ago. And I thought he had a big ego and he was a real pain in the neck. And I felt like I was being suppressed by this person. And so I wrote the question very honestly, why is this person with his big ego in my life? And I just blanked my mind, as Jane suggests we do. And what came up was, so that you'll get rid of your big ego. It didn't make him right or wrong. It was just that my soul was giving me an experience of letting go of my own defensiveness and realizing that I'm not subject to the things in the outer world to control me, that I have inner control no matter what anybody else may think. Another time, I was in a situation in the past where somebody was pushing my buttons and I was asking the questions in the journaling questions. And what came to me was that this person, as I journaled, I found myself reading, myself writing, this person is your infinite self. Well, this person certainly was not my infinite self. I wasn't going to agree with that at all. But I did open my mind enough so that I asked the next question, how is this person my infinite self? And what I got was an awareness that it's my infinite self who's helping me to let go of limited parts of myself through this person pushing my buttons. And I even found out to my chagrin that this person was really telling me things that I needed to hear that I was just defending myself from and I wasn't willing to hear. So it's important for us to move out of our attachments of what we think we want to hear and move into an awareness that sometimes we'll journal or we'll have an awareness come to us or have a revelation that isn't what we wanted. And that is challenging. But the beauty of it is that you can always ask for backup. You can always ask for clarification. You can always take a walk around the block. And that's another tool I want to share, which is sometimes when I'm stuck in my head, because I like to be in my intellect a little bit too much, it's good to do something physically. For some people, it's working out. For me, it's taking a walk. Once I was in a situation where I was constantly dealing with some very challenging circumstances. And every time I felt stuck, I got the feeling, just take a walk around the block. In fact, I journaled that came in my journaling. Take any time that I'm stuck, I need to get out and take a walk around the block. And that was in a part of the country that had really severe winters. So that was a challenge. But, you know, just going out and taking a walk around the block and letting go of the situation, I would always come back with a new answer. Of course, it helped that the block was almost a mile long. But still, getting out of your familiar surroundings and getting out of your stuck thinking and taking a walk in nature. I have friends who swear that nature's animals and birds give them messages. Some people have that within their meditation times. Other people will just see something, a billboard when they're driving, and it's the answer. Or the sun will come out from the clouds. Or how many different ways does guidance show up? I've several times asked classes of people, many groups of people, how many of you have ever had a book fall off a shelf right in front of you and you weren't touching it, either in a bookstore or in your own house? And the majority of people raised their hand and the answer was there in that book. So if you're open to it, some very remarkable things can happen. When my dad was dying, I was grieving terribly because I knew he was dying. And it was my first realization that he was going to leave. And I just got up, walked over, I asked for help. And I got up, walked over to his bookshelf, pulled out a book, opened it to a page, and it said, what do you do when somebody that you love is dying? And it had instructions of getting into bed with them and loving them and everything. And I went down and got my mom, and we did that very thing. And he said goodbye to us and told us that he loved us. I mean, these things can happen, and these revelations can come to us. And sometimes one way that we can tell the difference between what our ego self or intellect is telling us and our intuition is that there's an energy shift. We feel a difference in vibration. We develop the ability to discern that energy shift, that difference in vibration, in meditation. So important to develop that discernment, that attunement in the meditation time. But you feel more alive and you feel this is different now. I'm getting a shift right here. The intuitive self has a unique energy and feeling, and meditation is the best way to get in touch with what that is, to kind of practice that. As you're listening to guidance, really the one thing you bring to it, the only thing you need to bring to it, is your willingness to move beyond the limitations of your personality self, your willingness to see things differently. And there are times when I've been stuck, especially when I'm stuck in my emotions or I'm in a conflict with somebody, and to say, I'm willing to see this differently. That opens the door to the intuitive guidance that then can come through with something that maybe I didn't have in mind. It's always important in a time of meditation or a time of trying to get your guidance or journaling to still your mind, to let go of your thoughts or even your ideas of what you wanted to happen or thought should happen or would happen. And then this is the second one, which is a little bit tougher. Release the investment that you have in a specific or particular outcome. Listening is very difficult when you're looking for a special answer. And often we don't even realize how much we're attached to it. So just saying, you know, I'm willing. I don't know. I'm willing. Sometimes, even though it sounds kind of counterintuitive to simply say, I don't know, opens up the space for the knowingness to come through, because the intellect doesn't know. And I've got to do something to let that go. So if I ask a question and I go into a space of I don't know, or I even write down, I don't know, I can then take what opens up next and get some answers. Now, how do you know that what you're getting is from your intuitive mind? You know, Jane has shared many times about her four questions, and they're back in the Spiritual Power Tools book, and on page 65, in the chapter on guidance. And she said there, you need to ask these four questions to see if this is a legitimate intuitive awareness that you're receiving. One, is it good for all concerned? Two, is it moral? Three, is it going to hurt anybody? And four, does it demonstrate unconditional love? Those four questions can help you to get some clarity, can bring things into focus. And then if the important thing to do when you're getting your intuition, and you can certainly test it out and ask questions and be patient with yourself, but there comes a time to act. And it's very important to act upon your intuitive awarenesses, because when you say yes to your intuition by taking action, you'll get more of it. It's almost like your infinite self is saying, this woman, this man, this person is willing to do what this guidance is coming through and telling him to do or her to do. And now I'm going to give more. This is a simple analogy, but when you take action, let go of outcomes and move into that awareness of moving into action when you get this kind of guidance. Start with little things. Jane's often said, ask, where should I go to dinner? I'm going to cook something. What store should I buy it from? Or an outfit or a suit? Where should I go? And something she often has shared is that you'll sometimes be guided to one place and then you'll be told, no, we don't have it. Go to this other place. But that's part of the journey as well. Sometimes we find ourselves moving again in an interesting dance with life. The intellect likes to think in a linear way, straightforward, like the measuring stick. But the intuition thinks in wholeness. It's It's got breadth and depth. And so as we move into our intuition, sometimes we find ourselves dancing with our infinite self, dancing with life. The hardest thing to get an accurate answer for is any emotional investment that we have. You know, higher self, God, I want to know what to do in this situation, but what I really want you to tell me is X, Y, and Z. And so often we have to do the processing and forgive and release and let go of those emotional attachments so that we can have clarity, go into clear think. And that brings us once again to our spiritual thermometer. You know, we've talked about that spiritual thermometer, which is the tool that guides you to move. Let me just see if I got it here. Here we go. To move above a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. As you ask the question, where am I on the spiritual thermometer? You may find that you're below a 5. In that case, you're not open to your intuition and you shouldn't take action. You need to take some time, take a deep breath, become quiet. If something comes up, forgive and move that mercury in the thermometer up above a 5 and then see how that feels. And in that higher awareness, you're in clear thinking. You're able to discern. You have peace of mind in the I am presence and you receive guidance and ideas and you get the answers that you need. So that's a powerful method. Another thing that happens is that your intuition will reveal to you those chunks in your iceberg. And that's yet another image that's in the spiritual power tools on page 28. And this is the spiritual iceberg. 1/10 of you is conscious, and that's where your conscious mind is. 9/10 of you is subconscious. And that's the repository of all memories over eons of time of your soul's evolution. All the thoughts, feelings, and experiences in your subconscious mind. And sometimes little chunks will, as you bring the light of meditation and spiritual awareness and your observer self in, you bring in your superconscious mind, it dislodges little pieces. And those ice chunks are intuitively discerned. You become aware of pieces of your subconscious, things that perhaps you didn't know about yourself. But you know, this journey of soul evolution is a journey of awareness of your whole self, of self-realization, which means all of you. And so that self-realization includes those parts of yourself that you're not aware of and perhaps on a certain level would maybe not want to be aware of under other conditions. But now you are a spiritual student. You are on the path of soul evolution and self-awareness. And so you're inviting the awareness of these things to surface so that you can become aware of them and let them go. When you're asking for spiritual awareness, sometimes a song on the radio will come, or you'll see a billboard, or somebody will say something to you seemingly at random, or you'll overhear a conversation. This is one of the reasons why we, in the guidance on how to stay on the transformation track at the back of the book, one of the stages is to work with your spiritual power tools book. And you can just close your eyes and open it at random, put your finger down and see the process for consciously unveiling your soul. And the sentence that my finger came down on just then was, God uses the intuitive equipment you have developed in meditation to reveal the subconscious blocks that keep you from spiritual enlightenment. Thank you, Infinite Self, for backing me up in my class here. Now, where did that come from? I didn't plan that, but it came forth. You'll get answers in that way. A friend might call you and might lead you into something that is an answer, or you'll be looking online and a magazine or some other answer. I've had friends who swear that they've had posts, Facebook posts, answering machine messages that they did not, they have no way of knowing how that showed up, but it was definitely a message from the intuitive self. And if you're in doubt, if you feel, gee, I'm not getting anything here, know that there's a part of you that already knows. And perhaps you need to be patient because there's a process involved and you're supposed to be in a space of quietly discerning, quietly listening. And that's as valuable as getting any answer. You'll always know the truth when it comes to you deep inside from its energy and its vibration, and it often brings a sense of peace. And as your trust begins to increase, you'll begin to work more and more with your intuitive mind, and you'll begin to sense what that different vibration means. But this is something that happens and occurs over time. And it happens, again, through the process of unveiling your whole self in meditation. Through meditation, you raise the vibration of your soul. Your intuitive mind becomes awakened and activated. You begin, it's the heat that comes down on your spiritual iceberg and begins to dislodge things, but also provides the answers for you. All of the knowledge, all of the wisdom of the ages are available to you. Why? Because your soul is not only at one with every other soul in the universe, but is at one with the infinite self, the infinite mind of God. You already have that knowledge, that understanding, that revelation within you. And so just remembering that, there have been times that I've tried to journal and trying to get an answer, ask a question, but I'm in a space of, man, this is hard. I don't think I can ever get an answer to this. But if I'll just open the door a crack and realize that maybe there's a part of me, my intellect, that does not know, but there's a part of me, my intuition, that does know, things will come through. And often they'll come through when I'm not watching them. You know, they say a watched pot never boils. And if you are trying too hard to get the answer, what's the answer here? What's the answer there? No, ask for it, journal it, let it go. And then, without exception, over time, something will come. But it won't necessarily come when you're anxious about it. Sometimes there's a purification process that needs to take place in order to get your answer. And sometimes your infinite self uses your intuitive mind in order to bring into consciousness all the things that are blocking your answer, blocking you from the wholeness, which is the truth of your being. Every one of us, we all have soul issues that need to be balanced, that need to be realigned. And we are guided and directed to those things stored in our subconscious that are waiting for us, that may have been blocking us and may be blocking our answers. And as we do this work, what we really are doing is participating consciously in our soul's evolution. So this spiritual power tool, intuition, is really this first tool that we need to use in order to become aware of the more that isn't just all the awarenesses of answers that are out here, but the more that is the who that we are. Every soul has to go through this process. This is a part of the curriculum that moves us into the next dimension of our being. Now, I'm going to share something that I heard Jane say that I thought was a little bit confusing when I first heard it. So hang on. She said, intuition is an abstract experience. What does that mean, an abstract experience? That means it's not the concrete mind, the common sense, the value judgments. Instead, it's another aspect of consciousness, and by observing ourselves through our intuition, we get to know how our consciousness operates. Through this process, we get to discern the difference between our ego personality self and our higher intuitive faculty. And when an intuitive flash comes, sometimes it can come very suddenly, containing within it the full knowledge of everything that we need that we've never learned before. And we also get a full understanding of that information. And it happens simultaneously. In order to take that next step of evolution, we have to move beyond the intellect into this seeing things as a whole, seeing things not analytically in little fragments, but allowing ourselves to access the all-knowing mind of our infinite self through the process of using the tool of intuition. This is our gateway into the next dimension of being. The next dimension of being for you is discerned through your intuition and by meditating and stilling the mind and moving into your observer self and stay in the now moment, which is your observer self, dwells in the now moment. What happens is that it paves the way for you to develop this intuitive mind. And this is your next step, my next step, every soul on this planet's next step in our evolution. What this provides for us is something called freedom from illusion. Well, what's illusion? Illusion is the perspective of the limited self. What Jane once called the funny colored glasses, the distorted lenses or the distorted mirror that we see things in or through. What is that quote from Paul? Then we look through a mirror darkly, and now we can see face to face. So it's that when I was a kid, my parents took me to a fun house, Playland at the beach in San Francisco. And my first thing I wanted to do was run to the distorted mirrors, the funhouse mirrors. And they were hilarious because they would make you look all distorted. But we see things through what Jane calls the funny colored glasses. And every illusion that is broken, every time we let go of a distorted way of looking at things, it clears our way to a greater wholeness. And the reason why we see things in illusion is because we live in the opposites. And so we see things in terms of the intellectual's judgment of good and bad, right and wrong. But there's something greater that's going on. Just as I shared that this person with the big ego was there to help me get rid of my big ego. And so they weren't some kind of terrible experience in my life. They were an opportunity in my life. And I'm not saying that you're supposed to take abuse or not deal with important situations like that. But so often we defend ourselves against the very things that are going to move us into our next level of consciousness. So often we put up blocks and barriers to that which we are now letting go of in order to expand our awareness. And as our soul evolves, it expands and moves through many different stages of development in which it identifies with the limited self and believes it to be real, and then moves into a more expanded state of consciousness. I found some notes that I took in a class at Jane's a long time ago, and she said there were three stages to this process. The first stage was that we value and recognize the material world as real, and we try to find our satisfaction through the purely material pursuits. The second stage is when we begin to recognize we're living in a world of opposites, and things aren't necessarily as they seem. We start to get a clue, and that's the first step onto the spiritual path of the soul. And the third stage is that we begin to understand the great need that we have to develop the intuitive mind and to get over the great illusion that we are separate. You see, the intellect keeps us separate, keeps you separate from all of humanity, everyone else, people that don't vote the way you do, people that don't look the way you do, people that don't live up quite to the standards that you do. And as a person who's a recovering intellect, I see this in my life every day. And I realize that no matter how polished I thought my intellect was, it's always got to be overcome, transcended. It's always holding me back. Now, there's certain ideas that we can hold on to as we're starting to get this intuitive information. And this can kind of help us to keep our stability as we're working towards developing our intuition. Even though intuitive awareness comes with a vibration and an energy, and it can result in peace of mind, as it starts to push through, it might feel a little uncomfortable because your faculties are being used in a different way. It's almost like you're being rewired. You're now, with your intuitive self, are wiring the house of your soul with 220 volts. And you can't, in the wiring you've got right now, it can't carry the charge. This is the energy and the vibration of this higher self-awareness of your soul is a greater energy and vibration. And so there are times that you might feel uncomfortable or perhaps a little nervous or overwhelmed. You might find it a little hard to focus. You might find you don't quite have the poise or the stability. Then you stop. You just stop. When you have that tendency to want to get involved in a project to escape or escape your feelings in some way, just stop and take a deep breath, get centered, listen. 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 And begin to journal. Journaling can become a very helpful way to break this illusion of separateness and this feeling where you know something's trying to come through, but you're not real comfortable with that information that's coming through into your consciousness. What you find is that soon enough, your nervous system, your central nervous system, will become used to this new energy, this new vibration, and it will become easier to access it within your being. So I want to share with you just a couple of things that really have helped me in this book, Spiritual Power Tools, that I'm going to invite you to work with this week. Work with your spiritual thermometer. Work with your here's your spiritual thermometer, which is on page 43. Work with your spiritual iceberg and become aware and familiar with it. And then also turn to the back of the book, page 64. There are three pages on guidance in which she shares certain tools and different practice steps that you can use to develop your intuitive awareness. These are different ways that you can use your spiritual power tools to support your soul to develop your intuition. Another one is meditation. And so if you're not meditating yet, spend at least 5 minutes a day quieting your mind, stilling, and observing your consciousness. There's many different ways to meditate, but I invite you to expand your awareness by using the tool of meditation. And I also want to address something, which is, what if you, Jane once asked the question, because somebody asked it of her, what if you followed what is in your intuition and it turned out to be wrong? And this is what she said. I'm just going to read it to you. Your intuition is never wrong, but your ability to listen and interpret develops over time. And so ask these two questions. Was I attached to a certain answer or direction? And two, do I feel my intuition is wrong, or did the situation turn out differently than I wanted? You know, if you're attached to a certain answer, it's harder to discern the message that's trying to come through. And you can receive an intuitive guidance correctly, but misinterpret the outcome that it's supposed to bring. Often in my life, I've asked for guidance and I've received guidance and I've taken action, and I found that the outcome didn't result in exactly what my little self, little Greg, wanted to happen. But always, over time, it was revealed to me that it was there to grow my soul, which is really what I'm here for, above everything else. So I hope this helped you. And I invite you to come to one of our groups on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday to develop and go deeper and to ask questions and to move with these other spiritual like-minded souls as you develop your intuition. And now I want to invite you to take just a moment to meditate. And in this, we're going to have just a little, an opportunity to just ask a question, whatever it is. And so just close your eyes and take a deep breath. And then move into that space, that awareness, that is your infinite self, that is the real of you, the I am of you. Desire to know your infinite self. And make a commitment to back up that desire as we move together this week in support of our souls. And feel your energy and your vibration lightening, lifting. As you observe your breath, become aware that you are infinite. There is that in you that is infinite and has all answers and wants nothing more than to support your soul, is yearning for connection with you, even as you are yearning to connect with your infinite self. In fact, your infinite self loves you infinitely and gives you whatever guidance you need. And so move into the silence and just offer whatever prayer or request or question, if only to know yourself, your infinite true self. And then just go into a space, quiet space of listening. I am now open and receptive to the intuitive nature of my infinite self. I commit to strengthening my connection in daily meditation, in my now moment experience of my observer self, and backing up the desire of my heart to move into this intuitive, infinite awareness that connects me with the truth of my being, which is not only my center for enlightenment, but is the center in every other soul. Thank you. Thank you, infinite self. Thank you, God. Amen. And now as we move into the awareness of our rooms and just become aware of where we are and what we're feeling and what we see in the room around us. We see the faces of the people in our circle. And we're grateful for souls that support us, as I feel that you support my soul as I'm taking my steps. Thank you. Thank you for being in my life. We support each other and we're on this journey together. And we have the question and answer sessions in the chat, as well as the offering. If there's something that you want to donate to the Center for Enlightenment, that's in there as well. But looking forward to seeing you Tuesday night, Thursday night at 7, Saturday at 11. Powerful, powerful energy, powerful group. You're a powerful soul in evolution. So thank you for sharing this time with us. Bye for now.